Shalom Aleichem. Peace be upon you, and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website can be found at www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Well, it is the Resurrection Week, the week where we focus on the resurrection. And today we're going to look at the Torah portion dealing with Pesach, and that's actually the name of the Torah portion, Pesach, which means Passover, Pesach. You got to do the ch at the end, Pesach. That's Passover in Hebrew, and that is the name of the Torah portion for this week if you follow the Torah portion schedule. So we're going to read today's Torah portion, which is Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 51, dealing with Passover that took place in Egypt and was a foreshadow of what would take place later on with Messiah, with Mashiach, who would be the final sacrifice, who would be the final Passover, who would be the Passover lamb, the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. So we're going to read that. And then we'll also do the gospel portion today, which happens to be John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 31 through 20, verse 1. Real quick, if you hear thunder and stuff in the background, well, it's because it looks like there's a storm coming. And hopefully, in the name of Jesus, it doesn't interrupt the work we're trying to do here this morning. Now, I'm going to read the Torah portion, the story of Passover, from the Hallelujah Scriptures this morning. I've been getting a lot of requests about Hebrew and the feast days, and lots of questions and requests. And you know, I used to handle this information a lot, but I've kind of withdrawn from talking about it or using much Hebrew language and things like that for many, many reasons that I'm not going to get into today. But I have a podcast out there, I believe titled something along the lines of Why I No Longer Use Sacred Name Bibles When I Do My Teachings and things like that. And so that would probably answer that question for you. But there's a lot of hunger out there for it and things like that. So I thought, well, this morning I'll read from the Hallelujah Scriptures, which is a version of the Bible that puts a lot of Hebrew words in it. And I'll try to translate those on the fly for those of you who are typically used to me reading the King James Bible. And don't worry, we're not going to stop using the King James. We're just going to use the Hallelujah Scriptures for this specific study this morning, since it's the Torah portion that we're looking at, and it's Pesach that we're looking at. But we'll read the Gospel of John from the King James Bible. Like I said, I'll translate some of these words on the fly for you, but just so you know, one of the big ones that you're going to hear a lot is Mystrium, and that word is Egypt. So Mystrium is what it was called in Hebrew, and if you look at the Hebrew manuscripts, that's what it says, and we translate it as Egypt. Likewise, you'll hear the word Mishraites, which just means Egyptians. And the other words you'll probably recognize, most of you, but don't worry, I will translate them on the fly. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the Passover story. And then tomorrow, I'll basically do an introduction and then rebroadcast a podcast I did a few years ago about Passover and about the origins of Easter and all of that. But I'm not going to get into that today. You'll have to tune in tomorrow for that information. All right, enough rambling. Let's get started. We're looking at Exodus chapter 12, which in Hebrew is Shemoth, and starting with verse 21. Here's what it says. And Moshe called for all the elders of Yisrael and said to them, "Go out and take lambs for yourself according to your clans and slaughter the Pesach," that is to say Passover. "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And you none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. And Yehovah shall pass on to smite the Mizraites, that is to say the Egyptians, and shall see the blood on the lintel and on the two doorstops, two doorposts. And Yehovah shall pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. You see, what's happening is there's a great judgment coming to Egypt. And the Israelites are instructed to slaughter a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and to go in their house and not come out. Just so you know, Passover starts in the evening and ends the following evening. And in this particular year, according to most Hebraic calendars, it will start Saturday night at sundown and end Sunday night at sundown. But they were instructed to go in because God was sending a destroyer to strike all the firstborn. And if he saw the blood, then they would be passed over. Likewise, when the last day comes, and when it's time for judgment, God will look at us and he'll see the blood of Christ. And we will be passed over for that final judgment. Moving forward. Verse 24. And you shall guard this word as a law for you and your sons forever. And it shall be when you come to the land which Jehovah gives you, as he promised, that you shall guard this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what does this service mean to you? Then you shall say, it is the Pesach, slaughtering of Jehovah, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Mizraim, that is to say Egypt, when he smote the Mizraites and delivered our households. And the people bowed their heads and did obeisance. And the children of Israel went away and did so as Jehovah had commanded Moshe and Aaron. So they did. And it came to be at midnight that Jehovah smote all the firstborn in the land of Mizraim, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants and all the Mizraites. And there was a great cry in Mizraim, for there was not a house where there was not a dead one. Then he called for Moshe and Aaron by night and said, arise, go out from the midst of my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve Jehovah as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go. Then you shall barak me too. Barak means bless. And the Mizraites urged the people to hasten to send them away out of the land, for they said, we are all dying. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound and their garments on their shoulders. And the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moshe, and they asked from the Mizraites objects of silver and objects of gold and garments. And Jehovah gave the people favor in the eyes of the Mizraites, so that they gave them what they asked, and they plundered the Mizraites. You see, the people, when they saw this great devastation of the destroyer smiting all the firstborns, they begged them to get out in a hurry. And not only that, Israel didn't just leave with their own possessions. They plundered Egypt as they left, because the people gave them all this stuff. It says, and Yehovah gave the people favor in the eyes of the Mizraites, so that they gave them what they asked, and they plundered the Mizraites. Verse 37, and the children of Israel departed from Amasis to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides the little ones. And a mixed multitude went up with them too, also flocks and herds, very much livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Mizraim, for it was not leavened, since they were driven out of Mizraim, and had not been able to delay, nor had they prepared food for themselves. Should also mention, with the beginning of Passover also starts unleavened bread. And you know, leaven in the Bible kind of represents sin, and it's this idea of getting all the sin out of your life. You know, and so the tradition is that you get all the leaven out of your house. You don't eat bread for those 7 days, starting with Passover. And here's, you know, kind of where they get the unleavened part is they didn't have time to put leaven in their bread. They had to leave in a hurry. And so here they are making these cakes of unleavened bread. Verse 40. And the sojourn of the children of Yisrael, who lived in Mizraim, was 430 years. It came to be at the end of the 430 years, on the same day it came to be, that all the divisions of Yehovah went out from the land of Mizraim. It is a night to be observed unto Yehovah for bringing them out of the land of Mizraim. This night is unto Yehovah to be observed by all the children of Yisrael throughout their generations. And Yehovah said to Moshe and Aaron, this is the law of the Pesach. No son of a stranger is to eat of it. But any servant a man has bought for silver, when you have circumcised him, then let him eat of it. A sojourner and a hired servant does not eat of it. It is eaten in one house. You are not to take any of the flesh outside the house, nor are you to break any bone of it. All the congregation of Israel are to perform it. And when a stranger sojourns with you, and you shall perform the Pesach to Yehovah, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and perform it. And he shall be as a native of the land, but let no uncircumcised eat of it. There is one Torah for the native born, and for the stranger who sojourns among you. And all the children of Israel did as Yehovah commanded Moshe and Aaron, so they did. And it came to be on that same day that Yehovah brought the children of Israel out of the land of Mizraim, according to their divisions. And there is the Torah portion for this morning, my friends. You know, you hear the word Yehovah a lot, and that's because in the actual manuscripts, it doesn't say Lord or Adonai for the name of God. It says his name. And then in English, we take it and we translate it as Lord. And a lot of times in your English translations, you'll see the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's where the name of God is. And so they translate it all caps Lord, but it's actually Yehovah or Yehovah. Sometimes you'll see little Lord in little caps. That's usually the word Adonai or Adonai, something along those lines, meaning Lord or Master. And of course, Moses' name in Hebrew was Moshe. And so that's where you're hearing all this. You know, I don't talk about it. Like I said, I don't talk about it often anymore. For a lot of reasons. But very few people realize that. I mean, you'd be surprised how many Christians don't realize that the scriptures were written in Hebrew. And then they're translated into English. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about that. I want to get into the Gospel of John. So we're going to look at John. That's the Gospel portion for today. John chapter 19. We're going to be moving over to our King James Bible. We're going to be reading verses 31 through chapter 20, verse 1. So very short. Here's what it says. Starting with verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. By the way, the reason why it's a high Sabbath day is because of the time of year, because it's Passover. And so they can't do any work on the high Sabbath. So they're saying, the Jews are saying, take all the people off the cross, break their legs, you know, so that they'll die quickly. And it's because sometimes people could be on those crosses for days, just suffering. So that's what you're seeing taking place here. Verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Of course, he's referring to Psalm chapter 34, verse 20, which prophesied that that would be the case. Verse 37. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Which is probably Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. All right, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore, and he took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in the linen cloths, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth that the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. By the way, what always cracks me up is John is the one writing this. He's the one that outran Peter, and he just had to insert that into the narrative. And I read that and I think, man, is he just taking a jab at Peter that he was able to outrun him to the sepulchre? Let me read that again. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Verse 5. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Our Lord and our Savior is risen. And, you know, it all hinges on the resurrection. Everything that we believe hinges on that. As a matter of fact, Paul says, if the resurrection did not happen, then we are to be pitied, because it all hinges on that. And the scriptures tell us that if you believe in Jesus and you believe that God rose him from the dead, that you will be saved. It all hinges on that, because if Christ, our Messiah, if he not be raised, then there's no resurrection for us either. Our blessed hope, all of it, is attached to that. That Jesus Christ, Yeshua, was raised from the dead, that God rose him from the dead, that he's not in the grave. Many religions, they worship a god, and you can go to the tomb and their bones and their body is in that tomb. But not our Savior. That tomb is empty. He has risen. And one day, we will rise as well. And that is our blessed hope. Well, I hope you enjoyed this study this morning, a little different than normal. Just so you know, according to most calendars, and they're all different, but most of them say Passover starts Saturday night, April 20th, through Sunday night, the 21st. And then you've got the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which runs all the way through the 27th. So 7 days of unleavened bread. And so I won't be eating bread that week. Not because I'm trying to fulfill the feast, but because I enjoy memorializing them and understanding them. I'll talk to you a little bit more about that tomorrow. I'll do a little introductory, and then I'll rebroadcast a podcast that I did about Easter and Passover. But I'll warn you in advance, if you're new to the podcast, I'm a lot more calmed down than I used to be. So when you listen to the rebroadcast, it sounds like I'm just going off the whole time. But the information is mostly good. There's maybe one or two things that I would change if I redid it or that I disagree with today. But the information is good. Lots of scripture, lots of historical information on the origins of actual Easter and how we got from doing Passover to the holiday Easter and bunnies and eggs and all that stuff. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, and I'll answer the question because it's a question I get, just like I said, I get a lot of questions about Hebrew. I get a lot of questions about should we observe the feast, and I'm going to answer that question for you tomorrow, so you'll have to tune in for that. Well, I'm not going to answer the question for you, but I'm going to tell you my opinion. Yeah, but remember, I'm just a man. And I can be severely wrong and have been many times. Also, for those of you, since we've been talking a lot about Hebrew, don't forget that if you're interested in learning Hebrew, I have a 4-video beginners series on the YouTube channel where you learn the alphabet and you know the basics to help you get started. And I haven't done anything with it since, but I really should. Just depends on what you guys, you know, depends on the feedback I get from you guys about it. If you want more of that, if you want more videos once or twice a month where we're going over vocabulary or we're reading some things in Hebrew, let me know. Again, I have some reservation about it because of some of the issues that come with it. But anyway, I've rambled enough today. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you've been blessed, and I pray that you're focusing on and pondering on and really thinking about this week, about your Savior and about how he has risen and how that's your blessed hope. And I pray that's in your mind and in your heart, and be thinking about the Passover, not just the Passover in Exodus, but the final Passover, and make sure that you've been covered. And that God would see the blood of Christ and not your sin. And remember, you can't be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection, because it all hinges on that. If he is not risen, then we are to be pitied, and we are yet in our sins, according to the Apostle Paul. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.